A snarl in the woods. Ancient forest spirits nip at his heels. He can outrun a force of nature on foot. He needs an instant power machine built for the wild. The only escape is in the Toyota BZ Woodland. Off-road handling, all electric power. Leave evil in the dust. John Cho stars in Camping. Face the wild. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family at your local dealer. Toyota, let's go places. A colossal monster tearing through the streets. A city in ruins. Nowhere to hide. Until he finds a way out behind the wheel of the all-electric Toyota CHR. Instant torque, getaway handling, and immeasurable wow factor. John Cho stars in Escape. Experience the thrill. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family at your local dealer. Toyota, let's go places.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what if a ghost doesn't haunt a house to frighten the new owners? What if she's simply not ready to let go of the place she loved so much?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, thank you very much for listening. If you love Real Ghost Stories and if you have a real ghost story, please share it with us. Call it in at 855-853-4802, or you can just write it down by going to realghoststoriesonline.com, and you can hit subscribe wherever you are listening, and you can also be a premium subscriber too. You could sign up for that at Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's with me today. You know,
I sure am.
That kind of story makes sense to me. That why a house would be haunted for a little bit, but not forever. You know, maybe it's just like they left the house. Like, I love my house. I don't know that I plan on haunting it. Not really. But, you know, there's a lot of people who have lived in a house for like 40, 50 years. And it's hard for them to let go. In fact, my friend Lynn is going through that with her mom right now. She's lived in a house for a very long time. And they're moving her into an independent living place. It's really nice, but she's having a really hard time letting go of things. And so I could see that you want to just stick around long enough to make sure that the people who are now living in your house seem to respect your house, that you like them, you're okay with moving on, your house is going to be fine. Like, I could see that kind of haunting.
You know, though, I think if I think about the variety of stories that we hear, I would say the large part of them are not what I would consider that the spirit was intentionally trying to frighten someone. It seems to me that it's often maybe a residual. They don't even know they're doing it. It might be that they are just kind of parallel in there and not really trying to, they may not even know, you know, that you're there, but just occasionally bump into you as you occasionally bump into them. Then we have people that try to communicate, like, will you tell somebody something, you know, or whatever. I think that there are a lot of different reasons, but I will be honest. I think the majority of them are not spirits that are trying to frighten or intimidate or hurt or do anything like that. Now, when you do run into one that is that way, it is very frightening. We grew up in a house that had one that was a very frightening spirit for some reason. Very, very scary. So they are there. I'm not saying they're not there. I don't think they're the majority of what's there. And I think you're right. I think that sometimes you may just stay a little while just to make a transition, so to speak, out, you know, and watch how, you know, things go in your house. I sort of feel that way a little bit with mine. When I first got in here, there were some weird things happening. And now, not so much. I'm not sensing, you know, I'm not hearing anything at night. Nothing's knocking in my closet anymore or doing anything. And I just almost wonder if that was kind of the case with my house, that they just kind of wanted to see who was coming in.
What and if like, okay. you were like, okay, remember the show Bewitched? A lot of people might sure. not Love have watched it. It, but it was a great show from the 60s. Mm-hmm. And she had a neighbor across the street, Mrs. Kravitz, who was always Mrs. spying Kravitz. On everybody and watching everything, and she knew everything about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were a Mrs. Kravitz type of person in real life, being a ghost would be kind of awesome. Because yeah. you could spy on so many people.
But now all of a sudden you have powers, so it wouldn't make, you know, Samantha's powers very interesting to you because you have the,
I mean,
you know.
It wouldn't make a good TV show, but what I'm saying, if that was your personality, you were yeah. that type of kind of snoopy person, mm-hmm. like you could just be spying on people all the time. Nobody would know.
You could be, but I'm kind of hoping that when we die, like, a lot of that petty stuff just kind of dissolves away and you're not, that's not really where you are in the afterlife.
But I think there are going to be some people in this life that would be like, that's awesome.
Take it with them.
Yes. Because maybe like in this life, that's what they enjoyed. And in the afterlife, they're like, I ain't going anywhere. If I can just spy on this family that's living in my house now, I'm going to do that.
You know, I just think that the reasons for ghosts are extremely varied.
And, 100%. You know,
but I, like I said, I don't feel like the majority of them are intentionally trying to hurt or scare. I really don't. We kind of bump into them occasionally, and they may be as surprised as we are. But it doesn't feel like a lot of times they're even aware of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think it's all different. And I think, mm-hmm. but I do think that there are, you know, some dark spirits that do not want you there for whatever reason.
There are. And I'm not trying to diminish anybody that's had that sort of experience, because you and I have. And we know that that's for real. But I've also know the other side of it, where it feels like, I've had ghosts or spirits at any rate that I feel like really care about me, mm-hmm. that are kind of trying to help me. And so I think there's also things like that out there as well.
But I could see how if you were attached to the house and you had lived there for a very long time and you pass away, maybe it was suddenly you weren't planning on leaving that day. Mm-hmm. You just kind of stick around and it's like, but I have things to watch over and now there's other people in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what this story I think is about. And it says, I thought I'd share something that happened after my husband and I bought our first house. We still live here today. Oh, I guess they've only bought one. But the first year we were in this house was probably the strangest. The house belonged to an older woman who had passed away and her children were the ones selling it. We didn't know anything about her other than she had lived there for a long time. The minute we walked through the front door, we both loved it. It wasn't the biggest house we'd looked at, but it was comfortable. The yard was beautiful. There were flowers everywhere. You could tell whoever had lived there had really taken care of the place. Like anybody buying their first house, we started making it our own. We painted a few rooms, changed out some light fixtures that were pretty dated, and eventually replaced the carpets in the bedrooms. Outside, we pulled out a few shrubs that had gotten overgrown and planted things that we liked a little better. We weren't trying to completely change the house. We just wanted it to feel like ours while still taking care of it. After we'd been there a few months, little things started happening. The first thing I remember was finding lights on that I was almost positive I'd turned off. First, I blamed myself because we were getting used to living there. Then my husband started asking me why I left the lights on before going to bed because he was sure he had turned them off. We joked that owning a house must make you forgetful. Then things disappeared. Nothing important. It would be little things like my keys. That is a big thing, actually.
Yeah.
Of all the things that could get misplaced, that's probably one of the biggest, right up there along with your ID and money and debit cards and stuff. My keys, the TV remote, a pen I had just been using, my reading glasses. We tear the house apart looking for something, give up, and then later It would be sitting somewhere that made us both stop and look at each other because we knew we'd already checked there. One time I spent half the morning looking for my keys before leaving for work. I looked at my purse, checked every counter in the kitchen, looked on the hooks by the garage door where we always hung them, even checked the laundry room, thinking maybe I'd carried them in there with a basket of clothes. Finally, I took my spare set and left. When I got home that night, my regular keys were hanging on the hook by the garage door. I asked my husband if he had found them before he left for work, and he had not. There was one room in the house that always felt a little different. It was a small room just off the kitchen that we used as an office. Nothing bad ever happened in there, but I always felt like I'd interrupted somebody every time I walked in. I'd sit down at the computer and I'd catch myself looking toward the doorway because I had a strange feeling someone else was standing there, but I never saw anyone. Every now and then I might smell perfume, not a strong smell. It never stayed very long. I noticed it for a few seconds and then it would disappear. Sometimes it happened in the office, sometimes in the hallway. Once I remember smelling it in the living room. I asked my husband if he ever smelled it, but he never did. I finally quit mentioning it because I figured he'd think I was imagining it. The only thing we both experienced happened one Saturday afternoon. We were sitting in the living room watching TV, and we both heard footsteps in the hallway leading toward the bedrooms. Not loud or fast, sounded exactly like someone walking through the house. My husband muted the TV, and we listened. Then he got up to see who was there. He checked every bedroom, every closet, the bathrooms, the garage, even went outside to make sure someone hadn't somehow come in and gone right back out. There wasn't anybody. That was the first time we actually sat down and compared stories. Until then, we'd both been keeping little things to ourselves because every one of them seemed like something we could explain if we thought about it long enough. Not long after that, we started getting to know our neighbors. The people who lived on either side of us had known the previous owner for years. They talked about her the way you'd expect people to talk about someone they'd miss. Nobody ever told us the house was haunted. Nobody asked if we'd experienced anything strange. They were just telling us about the woman who had lived there before, about how nice she was, about how much she loved her house and loved the garden. As the months went by, the little things kept happening, but not as often. I'd still catch the smell of perfume once in a while. We'd still have something disappear and show up later. Ever so often, I'd walk into the office, get that same feeling that somebody else was already there. Then it just started happening less. A few months later, my husband said it had been a long time since we'd heard any footsteps. It wasn't like everything suddenly stopped. It just slowly faded until one day we'd realized it had been years since anything unusual had happened. And I've wondered about that. Why? Was she just not ready to leave the house she loved? Was she curious about us? Maybe she decided she was okay with what we were doing. Or did we just imagine the whole thing? We've been in this house a long time now. We love it every bit as much as she seemed to. I like to think she'd be happy knowing that the house she cared about so much ended up with another family who cares just as much. I really enjoy your podcast. Appreciate everything you do. That's from Liz. Don't you think that could explain it?
I do. I absolutely do think that could explain it. And I feel like she was there as long as she felt like she needed to be there. Maybe she even felt like she was being helpful at times, even though she wasn't. But I think somebody like that, it sounds like a person that loved her life and she loved her house and loved being there. And, you know, I wonder if Liz really thought about it. If there's, you know, we have a tendency to focus on the things that are make it difficult for us. So our keys are gone, or we heard this, or we heard that. But, you know, occasionally, did something happen that helped? Did you need something and all of a sudden this was there, or did you need? I almost wonder if there were times that she was helping you guys as much as it felt like at times she wasn't. It just feels like you had her as long as she needed to be there, and maybe as long as you needed her to be there. And now you're, she felt like you guys were good. And maybe it's a little bit of it's you too, that you're good and you don't need her now. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if it was like a teen thing between them and her, that she kind of helped them along until they were on their own. And then she was able to quietly just back away.
Do you think that as a ghost, like moving things like keys in the remote is just kind of a paranormal party trick? And you're like, hey, this is fun. I can do it.
Well, there's that. But here's the other thing. Somebody put them back in the right place. So we can blame her and say, oh, she moved them and then she... But maybe she didn't. Maybe something else was doing that, well, and she was helping by putting them where they needed to be.
Now, maybe Liz really did misplace her keys, and they were in the bathroom, the spare bathroom that she never goes into.
Yeah.
Because she happened in there and set her keys down. Because, like, I have put my keys down in some weird places before.
Oh, you guys, I think I just did recently put my keys, and I thought, oh, I know. I was on a walk, and when I came home, I threw them down in my, I have a little box of my dog stuff, and I had the leash and the keys in my hand, and they all went in there, and I searched and searched. Finally, I was like, I wonder if I threw them in the dog box. Sure enough, there's where they were.
Or like the other day, I walk Benji, I come in, I go to take him out for another walk. I can't find the keys anywhere. They were in the door.
Sure.
Which just invites, mm-hmm. like, hey, come on in.
Well, I have
you
left
can
keys
pillage
in the door
all
overnight.
You want.
Yeah. But don't you think that maybe if they relook at this from a different angle, maybe she was being helpful mm-hmm. the whole time?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if there was that kind of angle on this. You know, yes, hearing somebody walk through the house can be kind of frightening or a little, but they didn't seem to be like really put off. She doesn't say like I couldn't sleep at night and things like that. It was like, that was weird. I heard footsteps. We both heard somebody in the house. She said that, you know, like the lights were on and off, that kind of thing, which could be a communication thing. Or
paranormal party trick.
Or did she think she was helping by turning the lights on? You know, I just wonder if, like I said, she was slowly just helping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Watching
what would
and
have
making
happened,
sure they were okay.
What would have happened if a family moved in there, didn't take care of the yard?
Yeah.
Now, pick up their
you might
shit.
Be talking about a different story.
Yeah. You have to wonder, would the haunting be different because they're not respecting the things?
And it might be that fifth grade teacher who is just so disappointed in you.
And you have to, and then, well, those people aren't picking up on it. So then as the spirit, you got to do some bigger and bigger stuff because it's
exactly.
like, my God, I can't get through to these people.
I am
so tired of having your shit everywhere.
I'm so disappointed in that.
This is just not right. Well, let's go to a caller.
My name is Angela, and I am from Michigan. I called earlier this year with my stories of the man. I wanted to share the story of the little girl ghost that we also have in our home. We moved into our home when my son was 2 and my daughter was not yet born. And even though he was afraid of what he called the man when we first moved into our house, it feels homey, and our kids who are now teenagers are happy here. Shortly after my son stopped seeing the man and stopped talking about his Uncle Mike, who visited him at night, I was hearing the sound of a child crying and calling for mama. But it didn't take me long to figure out that it wasn't my son. I had learned also that there was a fire in my home a very long time ago. We live in a very old home, and there are even beams that are charred in our crawl space. So I began to think that it was just a residual haunting, like a recording of the past. And I thought that until one day when my son was 3 and I was pregnant with my daughter, I caught him standing with his face in the window. We have a very low window in our pantry, and he was whispering to no one. I said, "Hey, buddy, who are you talking to?" And he turned around and he smiled and he said, "My friend Laura." Well, I froze for a second, and then he said, "She's not hurt, Mama. She's just sad," which immediately made me think about the little girl crying that I would hear. And I said, "Well, tell Laura we have to go." And he said, "Bye-bye, Laura." I was creeped out, but he was happy, and I was just happy that it was no longer him afraid of the man. And it seemed like he wasn't seeing the man anymore. After my daughter was born, skipping a few years ahead, I would hear the crying more often and louder. And when my daughter was about 4, I'd really think it was her. It would sound urgent and scared. So I would run to her room, and she would be fine. And then when my daughter was about 6 to 8, I started getting woken up at night by the feeling of someone grabbing my ankles and the words, "Mama, wake up." And once I felt a presence over me, and I heard "Mama," and I was groggy, but I thought my daughter had a nightmare. And when I opened my eyes, it was a girl with light brown hair and a nightgown. So for a second, I still thought it was my daughter. And the second I realized that it was not my daughter, because her face was similar, but it was not my daughter, she vanished. I started becoming used to her visiting, and some nights I would even smell burning wood. I have never been afraid. And again, my son loved having her as a friend when he was small, so I wasn't afraid by her. But fast forward to when my daughter was 12, she confided in me that sometimes there was a little girl in a room, and she seemed relieved that I believed her, and I told her that I had seen her too. But then my daughter teared up and said the little girl was starting to scare her, that she stands behind her pink chair, which is against the wall of her closet. Well, it's against the wall that shares her closet. And that she would glare at her. Some time has passed, and my daughter has learned to pray and not give the little girl any of her energy. But recently, this summer, my daughter had a friend spend the night, and her friend said in the morning she was very tired because she dreamed that my daughter had jumped on her in the middle of the night and woke her up. But when she looked over, she could see that didn't happen because my daughter was sound asleep, which right away reminded me of the little girl. And recently, I heard the urgent crying again, but it had been so long, so for a second I thought someone had fallen down our stairs. We live in an old home, which, you know, in the older homes, they have the steep, real thin staircases. So I called up, and my son, who is now a senior, he said, "No, we're okay," and that I probably heard the cat, which I find funny because he was the first one to hear the little girl, and he was friends with her. As a side note, my husband denies seeing or hearing anything ever in our house, but I have heard something and then looked over at him before. And I could tell by the look on his face that he heard it also, but that's another story. Thank you for letting me call. Have a good day.
See, if he doesn't admit to it, it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
I would. Exactly. This would be like my one, I don't know, if my worst haunting scenarios, obviously possession would be right up there, you know, and dark and demonic. But hearing a child cry would be way up there. Because one thing, is it a child? That's something else. Mm-hmm. Am I actually hearing a ghost of a child, or is it something pretending to be a child?
Well, and that's, okay, that raises where the, you know, where my questions are in this story. And Angela has seemed okay with the girl. She says in there that she wasn't afraid of her. You know, she woke up, she saw her in the night, somebody grabbed her ankles, pulled on her, you know, said mama, you know, different things. So she had this girl, but she wasn't particularly afraid. Now, I don't know. I think that would really unnerve me no matter what, but it, you know, she felt okay. Like it wasn't really frightening. Now, when the year, you know, time moves on, the daughter's 12 and says, you know, she's starting to scare me. She's glaring at me, looking probably angry or something. And it's starting to scare her. So what's the story here? What's going on? Are these the same thing? Just because it's a girl that everybody's seeing, like you said, just because that's the way it, you know, reveals itself, is that really what it is? Or is Angela seeing a girl, but then this other thing is using that identity to frighten them? One seems okay and one does not.
I don't think it's ever okay to have a child crying and being and seeing a little girl.
Well, by okay, I mean that she wasn't afraid. It didn't seem like it was trying to do anything or hurt her. But then this other situation with the daughter sort of does. It doesn't feel like it's the same thing to me.
And it'd be difficult, you know, because it's like, I need to call in the reinforcements. And, you know, I need someone to come in and bless my house. And the husband, like, all the time, just like, yeah, right. But I wonder if he would go for something like that. Because yeah, even though he hasn't acknowledged it, maybe he has experienced it and he would be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It does sound like he probably has experienced a few things. But, you know, he may be somebody that's just not as in touch with the spirit world as apparently everybody else in the family is. Mm-hmm. So, we could have that. Like, he might occasionally get a vibe or hear a little something, but not enough that it's really bothering him. He is not seeing, because you cannot tell me if he wakes up in the middle of the night and a little girl standing there, it wouldn't shake him a little bit.
Yeah.
And not his little girl, something else. I think we have more than one thing happening here, because earlier there was a story of a man, right? And her son seeing this man, and that did seem to frighten him. And she said, you know, I was just glad the man thing was over. And now it was Laurel. He seemed okay with her and that was fine. She said Laurel, right? Not Laurel.
I think it's
Laurel. Anyway. So we already have a couple thing entities, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Really? So why can't there be three? Maybe the girl her daughter is seeing is not the same girl you're seeing.
And it could be the man in a different form. Hmm. I mean, can't you just...
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Like, I'm wondering if we've got a couple entities or maybe something else entirely. And we don't know if this fire situation that happened, did it kill everybody mm-hmm. in the family? So maybe you have the man. Maybe you have a little older girl. Maybe you have a child. You know, you may have more than one thing going on in this house, I think.
Yeah, but I just don't like any of it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel, I mean, even if it is the spirit of a little girl, I could not live with hearing a child crying.
I know that would just be, and I've been in a place before where I heard a child crying and it was so real. I got up because I thought we were staying in a, you know, it was a family reunion and my nieces and nephews were on the other floor. And I get up, check my kids are fine. I go to check on them. I keep hearing this crying.
But could you imagine?
It's none of them.
Night after night? Like,
no.
Frequently?
That's what I'm saying.
I couldn't do it.
It's really disturbing.
Yeah.
So I would like to see if these people died in a fire, that somehow they could transition on and get past.
That's why you got to bring in the pros.
Yeah.
Somebody who can maybe do a cleansing or help them move on. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think I'd be reaching out to some paranormal group and saying, what do you advise? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if they're religious, talk to your pastor or your priest. And like, at the risk of sounding crazy, I can't take this.
Yeah.
Well, share your real ghost stories with us, because we would love that so much. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. Hit subscribe wherever you are listening to. That would be great. Or become a premium subscriber. Get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Do that through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.